Right, good afternoon. Hope you guys are enjoying Build so far. Sorry that we're here so late in the day. I know you're probably ready to hit the restaurants or the restaurants.
Oh, they just got Nutella sandwiches.
Say what?
You got some Nutella sandwiches to tide you over, right?
Yeah.
That was good? Peanut butter and banana.
Matt's got some ice cream. Anybody else get any ice cream? The good stuff? All right. My name is Brady Gaster, and with me here is Joe Levy?
Levy.
Joe Levy. We work for the AEPT team that we talked about earlier. We actually work in Azure. We work in different areas. I actually work in the Azure SDK world, not the one that goes into Visual Studio. I do a little bit with that, but what I do is the programmatic SDKs. And Joe works in something that you haven't heard of before. He's going to tell you all about it today. You're the first people to find out about it. So this is kind of a little bitty announce. So just to point out that you'll be getting some surprises today. The name of today's talk is Automation Everywhere with New SDKs, Tools, and Services in Microsoft Azure. I almost said it wrong. That probably will happen, so forgive me if it does. So what we're going to talk to you about today is I'm going to talk to you about some of the new SDKs that we've been putting out. One that we actually released this morning, we GA'd this morning, it's the Microsoft Azure Management Libraries, which I'm kind of referring to as MAML. You may have heard me refer to it recently as WAML, but that's obviously changed. So there's that. So you're going to hear me talk a little bit about the management libraries today for .NET. We also have management libraries for Node.js, and we also have management libraries coming out for Java. So the stuff that you're going to see me do today in my demos, stuff that you're going to see me do in my demos today, you can imagine doing most of the same stuff in Node and also in Java. And the stuff that you're going to see Joe do today is kind of isolated to one particular techno set, PowerShell.
PowerShell.
Any PowerShell fans? Awesome.
All right.
Awesome.
Good to see.
All right. So real quick introduction to us. We kind of already did this, but I'll do it again. And one thing that I do want to point out over here, nobody ever thought this was possible. But I was born on the UNC campus. For those of you who don't know about the UNC Duke thing, we hate each other, okay? So my color is Carolina blue. Joe's color is Duke blue. But really, neither one of those teams matter anymore, right? So it's all about Florida now, huh? Okay. So that's kind of where we are.
We've put aside our differences to bring you this talk. It's really hard.
Our rehearsals were pretty entertaining. You should have been there.
Yeah. A lot of flying.
Yeah, a lot of sparring, smack talk. When Duke lost, I picked on him. When Carolina lost, he was nice. He didn't pick on me. but I think you said you live with four Duke graduates, right?
Four Duke grads, yeah.
Very intelligent house. So, here's what we're going to talk about today, the Azure Service Management Stack. That's a term that I kind of came up with as we were working on this deck, and it'll make a little bit more sense when we get into the Lego blocks. You'll be able to see kind of how this stuff works together. I'm going to do a quick little intro to the management libraries for .NET, and then I'm going to do two more demos using MAML, one that shows you some integration test scenarios, and one where we talk about how you could enable software as a service experiences using the management libraries on top of Windows Azure websites, Microsoft Azure websites. Pardon me, I'm jet lagged. I flew in from Seattle. All right, and what are you going to talk about today?
Yeah, and I'll be talking about the Azure PowerShell commandlets a bit, which are built on top of Microsoft Azure Management Libraries, and then this new cool Azure Automation Service, which we're literally promoting to production like 3 minutes ago. So you guys are the first people to hear about it, and I really hope you like it.
Yeah, and just so you know, this morning, I think I might have mentioned this morning we actually went GA. We went 1.0 with our management libraries. Those are all NuGet packages. I'm going to show you how to get those in just a couple of seconds. But that's kind of what we're going to be talking about today. So to get started with that, first thing is going to be the Microsoft Azure Service Automation or Service Management and Automation Stack. I'll really quickly show you what that looks like. So down at the very bottom, we have a series of NuGet packages that we call SDK Common. And SDK Common kind of has the stuff you need for HTTP, parsing JSON islands, parsing XML islands, tracing and authentication. So we have all that stuff rolled up into SDK Common. And then sitting right on top of SDK Common, we have the Microsoft Azure Management Libraries for .NET. We're actually using some pretty interesting technology to create the management libraries. Like I talked about a moment ago, we've got these in Node. We've got these in Java as well. We can produce these on the fly whenever we want to. We have a very interesting tool that we built in-house that we're going to be open sourcing pretty soon. It's to not do it justice, it's kind of a code generator, but it does a little bit more than code generation. And we actually built this alongside what you're going to see me demo today. And we built it so that we could basically have the same SDK experience across all of our different supported languages and platforms. And Joe, you're going to talk about the PowerShell commandlets and the new service?
Yes. So on top of the Azure Management Libraries, we've built up these PowerShell commandlets that really give you great access to all the functionality that's provided in the Azure portal and in the Azure Management Libraries from PowerShell syntax. So you can open up your PowerShell console and just write PowerShell that way and be able to interact with, you know, service bus, storage, clouds, all your Azure resources. And then on top of that, the new Azure Automation Service, which we'll talk about a little bit later, really lets you write runbooks, which under the hood are PowerShell workflows. And these PowerShell workflows, we have built-in support for the Azure PowerShell commandlets, so you can write highly available, reliable workflows to automate all of your business processes that keep your kind of cloud operations, keep your cloud services up and running. We'll talk more about that later.
Mm-hmm. I just want to get really interesting for all the PowerShell fans in the room. So the first thing we're going to do, since we're going to go up from the bottom of that stack to the very top, I'm not going to talk too much today about SDK Common because, you know, it's HTTP, JSON, XML. You can imagine what that stuff's going to be doing. The nice thing about it is a lot of our other partners, different partners within Azure, are actually starting to use our SDK Common, and they're actually starting to build on top of these management libraries and to basically give you more automation across the entire Azure landscape. So the first thing we're going to talk about is going to be MAML. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about that. I'm going to show you a couple of slides, and then we're going to go into some demos. So you install these through NuGet. We actually install these into the PowerShell code through NuGet as well. And you can get all of them by doing install package Microsoft.windows-azure. We kind of had this interesting branding change happen recently. We haven't renamed the NuGets yet. We may do that in the future. But right now, it's just we didn't have time. So we wanted to get this out for build. So we just left it the way it was, and we will be renaming it eventually. If you want to get every single thing in MAML, you just do install package Microsoft.windows-azure.management.libraries. So you just do libraries, and that will bring down everything all at once. You saw all those boxes turn green there. Or if you only need a couple of them, you can just install the ones that you want. So if you need to manage websites and storage only, there'd really be no reason for you to pull down the service bus and all the other stuff. So you could just pull down those two NuGets. So you can actually install them individually if you want to, or you can install them all at once. Most times I do it, I just do it all at once because I'm just going to, you know, party on different things. So we've got stuff for compute, website, storage, SQL, media services, the whole nine. So it's all out there. The one that we don't have yet, we just started talking to the team, is mobile services. They were also doing a lot of stuff for our upcoming releases, and we were all crushed with time. So we kind of are going to get back with them after build and probably add some MAML for them as well. So I just want to point that out. Now, how do you do this? How do you get started with it? Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you a really quick demo on how to get started using the management libraries. Before I do that, if you want to get in touch with me after the talk, I'm going to be at the booth. Joe will probably come over to the booth with me and hang out for a minute.
Yep.
So we'll be at the booth hanging out at the Azure booth, so come on over and chat with us. If you want to get in touch with me online, best way to do that is Twitter. So there's my Twitter handle. It's real creative. It's my name with no spaces. And if you want to learn more about the stuff that we're doing on SDK, I blog about it all the time. My latest blog is something about web jobs, but I have a lot of other blog posts in there about the management libraries. So if you want to learn more, please feel free to go out to the blog and check that out. Here's how you get it. You get it through NuGet. And I just did a quick search up here for windows-azure.management, and I got back all these packages. Now, you'll see here that I've got stable only selected. If I were to change that to include pre-release, you're actually going to see that we have more packages out there. That's because we had a couple of little things here and there that we wanted to shore up. You know, one team wanted more documentation, so they didn't want to release without their documentation. So we're going to get their official MSDN documentation put out pretty soon, and then we'll be GA-ing them pretty soon. But basically, that should show you that we have more automation coming in the management libraries. We have other services that are going to come online with this as time permits. The first demo that I'm going to do today, I also want to point out that we are open source. This entire SDK, you can clone it on GitHub, party all you want. So I just want to point out that you can actually download all this code and play with it all you want to. If you wanted to submit a PR, we'll evaluate it. We do take PRs pretty frequently. I took one in PHP just a couple days ago. So we are open source, and we will take your code. And some of you in there may have already done a PR with this. Trust me, we will take your code. So I just want to point that out. First demo that I'm going to do today, I'm going to do a quick little plug for a little side product that some friends of mine have been working on. Hopefully Mads is in the room. Mads is in the room, raise your hand. Mads is not in the room. So Mads and Syed built up this thing called SideWaffle, and it basically gives you an easy way to write Visual Studio V6s. So you can basically come up with your own individual project templates or file templates, and SideWaffle just makes it a lot easier for you. So I'm actually going to use SideWaffle, or I use SideWaffle, to build up a demo so that I can just kind of go through the demo really quickly. So I just wanted to give a little call out to SideWaffle, and then, I have to refresh my portal here. So I'm gonna go ahead and refresh the portal. And the first thing I'm gonna do is just gonna go ahead and do a file new project. So I'll just do Control N, and you'll see here that I've got this Microsoft Azure Management Libraries demo project. I'm planning on taking this and putting it out into the Visual Studio Extensions Gallery. So if you actually wanna get this, it'll be out there probably by the end of the week. So if you wanna show this demo yourself, or you don't wanna go through the rigmarole of learning how to do everything, and you just wanna have some sample code, I wanna put this out in the extension gallery pretty soon. So just watch my blog, watch my Twitter, it'll be out there soon. So I'm gonna go ahead and do this guy. Go ahead and set up a new project. I'm gonna have to pull down some NuGets. Obviously I wanna pull down my management library NuGets, but I'm also going to pull down ADAL. Anybody know what ADAL is? Okay, the Active Directory for Azure stuff. I'm gonna pull that down because the way I'm gonna authenticate up to Azure is going to be using AAD. We currently support two different ways of authenticating. One of them is AAD, and then the other one is management certificates. So you can do either one, okay? So I've got a project here. I need to delete this flag because I don't really use that. And the first thing that I'm gonna do here is do manage NuGet packages. And I wanna go up here and do a search for ADAL. Be good, internet. Okay, here we go. So I want to install ADAL first. And the reason I'm walking through this is I actually want you to see exactly how to do it so that when you open up your laptop later because you're super motivated from such a great talk and you want to party on this, you'll know how to do it. And real quickly, I want to do one more. Microsoft.Azure.management. Real quick. And I'm just going to go ahead and install everything. So you see there's all of our NuGets. I'm going to select libraries and just click install. And now that's going to pull down everything. It's going to pull down websites, the whole thing. It's actually only going to pull down those which have been GA'd. We went ahead and made the 1.0 packages part of the rollup. So this rollup package will only pull down the actual 1.0. If you wanted to pull down some of the ones that aren't out yet, you'd have to pull them down explicitly. So Service Bus, which is still in pre-release, you have to actually ask for that one specifically, and you'd have to ask for it with the include pre-release turned on. Do you want to point that out? I'm going to pull all these guys down real quick. Do-do-do. May have to skip a demo. So. We've been asked to hurry. So. And now I'm going to open up my program file. And what I'm going to do here, the point of this code is that I want to create a virtual machine in Windows Azure. And I want to do it automagically. So I want to do it through code. So what you'll see here is that I've got a bunch of comments set up. So I've got different things that I'm going to have to add to this code. And I've scripted this just so we can kind of burn through it real quick rather than write all the code and introduce all kinds of potential demo fails. So the first thing that I'm gonna do is I'm gonna add a new file, do Control Shift A, and one of the things that you do get from SideWaffle is the ability to do file item templates as well. So I'm gonna do this first one because the first thing you have to do is authenticate. And what I'm doing, I'm gonna show you that real quick and I wanna hide it again. Okay, but I've got this interface here called iToken Credential Configuration, and a class called My Personal Configuration that implements it. And now I'm gonna make use of that. First thing I wanna do, I've even got snippets in this guy. Step 0, import namespaces. So there's my namespaces. And then I'm gonna go down here and I'm gonna do step 1. Step 1, authenticate. There we go. And what I'm doing here is I'm actually calling this special class that I created just for the purpose of this demo to get credentials. And we have a couple different, like I said, we have a couple different ways of authenticating. We also have a couple of different classes to basically objectify the way you can authenticate. So one of them is a token credential, and that's when you get an AAD token, and you want to authenticate using AAD. The other one is a certificate credential. So we do have those two there. I'm actually going to use the token credential. So I've got that guy. Now the next thing that I'm going to want to do is we give you the ability to actually iterate over all of your subscriptions. So I'm going to show you this code real quick. So we'll see what I'm doing here. Is I have a model object type subscription And that's basically a representation of a subscription on the API endpoint. What I'm going to do is I'm going to new up a subscription client, and you're going to see this theme pretty frequently during the demos. This is a subscription client, but I've also got a compute management client if I want to manage my VMs or my cloud services. I've also got a website management client, et cetera, et cetera. SQL management client, storage management client, and on and on. So I just want to point out that that's kind of what the code looks like, and you'll see here that I'm doing list async. We're totally async supported. We also have synchronous, but they sit on top of the async, and we just wrap it. So I do want to point out you've got either or. You can do sync or async. So I'm going to do an async call to get my subscriptions back. And the reason I'm doing that is when I want to start working with my own subscription, I'm going to have my credential associated with one particular subscription. I can't just say, give me a website and all my subscriptions. It just won't work. So my next step here, step two, I'm going to get my subscription list. And what I'm basically doing here is I'm iterating over all my subscriptions, and I'm looking for the first one that has the phrase MSDN. So I'm actually using an MSDN account to do this. Right? Once I do that, I've got my subscription. I need to recreate my token and associate it with a particular subscription ID. So you'll see here that I got back my subscription from the API. I'm going to look at the subscription ID property of that, and I'm going to pass in my token. So this is basically my credential that I'm re-authenticating, basically, but affiliating it with just one particular subscription into which I'm going to create stuff, aka VM. All right? Now, next thing I'm going to do, I'm going to go over here and I'm going to create a new cloud service demo class. And in this guy, what I'm going to do is create an instance of my compute management client, passing it my credential. That's the only parameter that you have to pass one of those guys, because you have to be able to authenticate your client. Then I'm going to call the hostedservices.createAsync method. Sorry, I'm going off screen. Go ahead and do this for you. So you'll see here that I'm calling createAsync. And we've got this request response model for every single method inside of MAML. So what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be passing it a hosted service create parameters guy, and that has all the properties that I need to be able to fire up a brand new cloud service. All right, so I'm going to be creating a cloud service, and I'm also going to be creating a storage account. I have to have that storage account because I have to have somewhere to store my VHD for my actual image. Control shift A one more time. And now I'm going to go ahead and create a storage demo class, and you'll see this theme. So I did subscriptions.listAsync, then I did compute management client.create hosted service. Now I'm doing storage client.create storage account. So I'm passing all this stuff in and partying on it. And then the last step, I have to actually add that code over here, close this guy down. So I've got my cloud service here. Create my cloud service. Did I add storage yet? Yep, I did. So now I'm going to do step 5, create storage account. And then the last step is the virtual machine stuff. I'm going to walk through this code kind of quickly. First thing I'm going to do in this code is I'm going to create a compute management client. I'm going to look at the list of available VMs in the gallery. And the one that I'm going to be looking for is one that has Visual Studio installed on it, because I want to have a Visual Studio machine up in the cloud. Once I find that, I'm actually going to go ahead and create a configuration set, give it a username and password, tell it where I want it to live, and then I'm going to give it another configuration set that basically says I want to open up RDP, and I want to open up, PowerShell, so I can basically use his stuff to manage my VM. So once I do that, I'm going to set up a virtual hard disk. This is the one that I asked for, and I'm going to create a role. For those of you that are seeing this and you're saying, Azure doesn't have VM roles anymore, I know. This is not a VM role. This is a virtual machine. You have to have the cloud service to put it into. It's not a VM role. That's gone. Just want to point that out because a buddy of mine, Corey Fowler, first time he saw this, he said, VM roles are gone. I was like, I know. I work in Azure, dude. So just want to point that out. Now, if I scroll down a little bit more, you'll see that I have this create deployment parameters guy, and that's actually where I'm telling it all the different stuff that my VM's going to need to spin up. And then the last step is to call the virtual machines.create deployment async. And that'll actually create my VM. So I'm going to go right here and do step 6, create virtual machine. Sorry for my indentation. So I'm ready to go. I'm all done. All done with my code. Now I'm just going to hit F5, and then I'm going to go to another demo. One of the things I like to say in the SDK is we make it easy for you to talk to Azure. but we can't bend space-time. We can't make Azure go faster. We can just make you go faster with Azure. So I just want to point that out. Okay? It takes a minute to create the cloud service, to create the storage account, and all that good stuff. So I can't rush physics. I'm just going to hit F5, and what you'll see is tiny little console app is going to pop up. That's my login box. I'm already logged in through Studio, so it's just going to pick up my token. I've already created a cloud service. In just a second, it's going to say, you've created a storage account. And then a couple minutes later, it's going to say, you've created a VM, and then I'll go to the portal, and you'll see the VM spinning up. How many of you use VMs in Azure? Does this make your life easier? Could you script this? You do this in managed code. You build your own little app that runs on the desktop, and your manager can create VMs now. Maybe that's not a good idea. All right. So I'm going to let that demo run for a second because we've got to spin everything up. And I'm going to go to a couple real-world demos here. How am I doing, 10 minutes? OK. The dev test story with the management libraries is fantastic. What if you need to test your website? OK? What if you need to go through the process of creating a QA environment and a dev environment and a production environment? It's not fun, is it? What if you could just test your ASP.NET application or your Node application up on Azure to make sure that it's working the way you want it to work when it's online? And you can deploy it to Azure for production if you want to. You can deploy it wherever else you want to for production. The idea is you could use this solely to do your web unit testing or your integration testing. And I'm going to show you an example of that. So this is going to be integration testing using the management libraries. So I'm going to go over here, and you can see that the app is already finished running. If I hit exit there, and I go over to my portal. I had no VMs in here before. What you'll see now is that I've got a cloud service. It might say it's deploying. I have a VM. It might say it's starting up. But since that call is an async call, the program actually exited while the stuff's spinning up in Azure. So that's all going up there now. There's my VM. So I've already created a VM. First demo successful. It's a good thing. So I'm going to open up a new project here. Recent projects and solutions. Website integration tests. Now, in this code, which I'm just going to skim through really quickly, I have a unit test, just an XUnit test. And that XUnit test, the point is I want to have data in an Azure table. And the way that I've done that, oh, that's not good. Oh, that's annoying. Let's try this. The demo gods are starting to be mean, I guess. Sorry, buddy.
It's all right.
If this doesn't work, I'll be frustrated. Sorry, guys. Got any good jokes? Don't try this one. No. So you can see that my VM's actually out there. If I were to select that VM, once it started up, I could actually connect to it and log in with the user account that I created. Now, real quick skim of this project. I've got this storage helper guy right here, and all he's going to do is create a table if it doesn't exist, and he's going to save two pieces of data into that table, the website configuration, basically. So it's going to be a welcome message and description. It's what I want to show the user. And my website code over here, it's an MVC app. I've got this home controller, and you'll see that I'm going to make use of that. And you'll see that I'm looking at my connection, my app settings for a storage account connection string. That's important. We'll come back to that. Then I'm going to go out to the storage account, pull out one of those objects, and I'm going to display the message to the user. Sounds pretty reasonable, right? Pretty easy situation. A lot of potential failure points here. The connection string could be bad. The storage account might not save the data, et cetera, et cetera. You never know what will happen. So you want to have an integration test to show all this stuff. So what I've got is a unit test over here, rather an integration test. If I open this guy up, just scroll through it real quickly, what it does is it creates a website. If I scroll down right here, and it creates a randomly named website. So it's going to be completely random, just, you know, path.getRandomFileName random. Then I'm going to get the publish profile for that guy. Then I'm going to create a storage account after I publish the stuff using .NET-based MS deploy. Then I'm going to create a storage account. That'll take a minute. So once while that's running, I'll probably go ahead and set up the third demo. I'm going to create that storage account. Then I'm going to actually call the getKeys method of the storage account management client. That's going to get me my primary and secondary storage keys. Then I'm going to be able to dynamically build my connection string on the fly. So I'll build my connection string using string format right here. I'm going to use that connection string to actually save data. Then I'm going to get the configuration of my website. So if you go to the website portal, and you see app settings and connection strings, I'm actually going to make an API call that's going to give me that information back. Then I'm going to update it, passing it my connection string. So you'll see right here that I do settings result, and I just add another setting to it. Then I'm going to inject that setting, calling the API one more time, configuring the website so that it now knows how to get to that actual storage account. I didn't have to edit any config files. I didn't have to do anything here. All right? Pretty easy. Now, my dispose method, guess what it's going to do? It's going to delete the website, and it's going to delete the storage account. So this environment is only going to be alive in Windows Azure for as long as it takes to test it out. Think of the money you could save in ridding yourself of your QA environment, just doing it all up in Azure. Think that'll save you some time? No hands. Really.
All right. Few hands. Some people are really quick manually.
I know. So there's that. So now what I'm going to do is I'm going to go over here to my ReSharper menu, and I'm going to go up to my unit tests, pull up my unit test guy right here, and I'm actually going to run this unit test. Before I do, I'm going to pull this one file up, click this guy, and say run unit test. I'm not going to debug it. It's going to go in my unit test run right here. Now, once that website is deployed, I'm actually going to run one little test. Website displays the correct messages. I'm just going to run that. It's going to go out, and it's basically going to do a screen scrape of the website that I just finished publishing out to Windows Azure. It's going to make sure that the values that I expected to see in there are in there. I originally did this using something called Fluent Automation, which actually uses like the Selenium WebDriver to load up the browser and just scrape it. You could do that if you want to. It wasn't working for me for some reason, so I just changed it and just I'm doing screen scraping now. So this test might not run very quickly because I actually have to create that storage account, which requires like DNS resolution and some other stuff. So while this test is running, I'm going to go ahead and tee up the next guy. This is the last demo that you'll see today of Mammal. And then we're going to go into Joe's stuff, which is going to be really neat. All right. So how many of you would consider yourself to be SaaS providers? Anybody out there got a SaaS app? Okay. How many of your customers want to wait after they submit that form? Right? Wouldn't it be great if you could use something like this to actually spin up a website as soon as somebody submits a form? Would that be convenient? I mean, yeah, you could have a CMS to do it, but what if you want to have them in their own individual site? This is going to make it a lot easier for you to be able to do that. So I'm going to show you a quick demo of how you could enable SaaS using the management libraries. Before I do, you'll see here, look at there, that test passed. Now, if I go back out to the portal, you'll see that if I hit F5 one more time right here, you'll probably see one randomly named storage account. That's the one that I did for the previous demo. But you're probably only going to see one or two websites, and it's going to be my blog and maybe one other one. All that stuff got deleted. You don't have to pay for that. Guthrie did a really interesting presentation about a year ago. And in that presentation, he asked, how many of you are MSDN subscribers? All the hands went up. How many of you MSDN guys are actually using your Azure benefits? All the hands went down. He goes, you know what? On your $150 a month allowance from MSDN, you could do your entire dev test situation up in Azure and rid yourself of that environmental cost. Pretty cool. Now, the last demo that I'm going to do today, I'm going to fire this guy up real quick. I'm actually going to do it the safe way. And I'll let you take over. If I run over, just slap me. This demo is pretty quick. And what I'm going to do is I've got a website. I've just got a normal plain Jane website with an API, a web API. Now, the web API code does all the stuff that you've seen me do already. It does website create, and then it does some more configuration. I've got this website running right here, and the way that I've done this, I've got my PFX, and I've got my CER file up in the cloud. So I'm actually doing this one using the certificate auth rather than AD. So I'm just going to run this website locally, and it's going to pop up this handy little tool called MiniBlogger. I mentioned Maz just a few minutes ago. Maz wrote this really cool blogging tool that I use and he used called MiniBlog. So I started thinking, I would like to make it easy for other people to use MiniBlog. So I'm going to create a website that will let people create MiniBlogs. So this first call that I'm going to do, you'll see that that box is red because I have to provide a DNS prefix for it. So I'm going to call it Joe Levy. And then I'm going to tab over here and see if that is available. That is available. Now I actually hit a management library on the server side right there that goes out and it says, is hostname available? Yes. So I get that back. I'm going to select a region right here, West US. Blog name, Joe's Blog. This is when the fun stuff starts. Joe Levy. Sorry, Joe Levy. And I'm going to go over here and I'm going to click this Create Site button. Now, the other thing that you probably heard me say, if you've ever seen me speak before, is that I can figure out a way to use SignalR anywhere. So what I'm doing here is I'm basically tracing the behavior that's happening in that web API using SignalR so that I can see what's going on. I'm done. Site's going to fire up. JoeLevy.AzureWebsites.net. For those of you that are SaaS guys, would this make your life easier? Okay, I'll stop the value prop on MAML now. Cool. Do this.
All right, and it's turned over to me. Thank you, Brady, for the great demos and the great transition to me. Just
exactly
so you guys know,
minutes?
Exactly 30 minutes. I mean, down there it says 20 minutes left.
Yeah, but that thing's faster. They wanted us to rush, which we're not going to do.
Anyway, so just so you guys know, I wasn't sitting up here, you know, on Facebook the whole time, not paying attention. Our service literally just went live in production Azure, so I was sitting here and making sure it worked over and over and over so this demo would work.
You're the first.
Yeah, the talk about agile. This is like cutting edge just came out. Okay, so first thing we're going to cover is the Windows Azure PowerShell module, which you've probably heard about before. It's built on top of the Azure Management Libraries.
Which I need to change that slide. Again, jet lag, sorry.
So let's continue on with Brady's scenario, where you're a SaaS provider and you provide websites for your customers. Now let's say, in addition to providing these websites, you also provide an SLA. So you want to say, hey, customers, you get a 99.99% SLA, and we're going to add proactive monitoring to make sure that there's always someone looking to see if your websites are running. And if they're not running, we're going to remediate and fix them up for you.
Cool.
Next slide. So let's just go straight into a little Azure PowerShell demo. We're not going to do too much on that because of time and because it's something you guys are familiar with. So you can see here I have this little script where basically I grab my management certificate for this Azure subscription for my search store. Make it.
Oh. Did you increase this?
Well, I'm only going to be here for like 2 seconds, actually. So basically, I'm getting the cert for my local certificate store, and then I'm saying, OK, connect to this Azure subscription with this management cert that has access to it. And then I'm going to call get Azure website. And basically get back my websites and look at their statuses. And you could think of your DevOps folks really going into the PowerShell command line and just running this throughout the day to make sure the websites are up and running. And if they're not, going and remediating them. So I can run that. You can say it'll give me back data on these two websites, which it says are in good state. And that is consistent with my portal here. You can see I have these two websites, which we could pretend are our customer websites. All right, back to the slides.
So
next one. Okay, so now a little bit of a more realistic back one.
Back one?
Yeah.
Sorry.
It looks similar, but
my
it's
bad
a different
proctor.
Slide.
Sorry.
A little bit of more of a realistic scenario. Your DevOps folks don't want to sit there, and even though it's easier through the console to just see the status of the websites, it's a lot. The real DevOps folks don't want to be involved and have to do this monitoring themselves. They say, involve me when you know that there's an issue and I'll go and fix it. They don't want to have to themselves go and manually do this monitoring because it's a big time sink for them when they could be, you know, doing something better with their time. Mm-hmm. So we could take that script that I just wrote and we could wrap it in a while loop and have it run continually and maybe call into, you know, SendGrid or Twilio or something else to, you know, actually alert the on-call engineer that they need to go and fix a website. But the problem with that is you're really not setting up some highly available automation. So if you have this running on one host, if that host dies, then you know your monitoring is gone, it's kaput, and nothing's picking up that monitoring and running it. You could try to say, oh, I'm going to have, you know, N hosts that all have this script on them and they're all going to run it. But if you are running some automation where the automation you run kind of can't run multiple times simultaneously, like say you're creating one VM, you don't want that script to be picked up by multiple machines and all run because you're going to get N VMs when really you only want one. So you need some way to say, okay, if host A isn't running my automation, I want host B to run my automation. If B isn't working, then C. So you need some way to kind of manage across these workers to say who's going to actually run this script. The other thing is, if you have the script distributed on different hosts, you also have to manage the dependencies for these hosts. So that could mean updating the script when there are changes on multiple hosts. It could mean you're using a new version of the PowerShell module and you need to update that on multiple hosts. It could mean, and what highly likely to happen is these certs, you're not going to have a cert that lives, you know, until 500 years from now when Satya becomes Master Chief. You're more likely to have a cert that is going to expire relatively soon due to your organization certificate practices, security practices. And so you're going to have to add a new cert to Azure as your new management cert to use, and then go around to all these hosts and add that cert onto these hosts. So it's really not a maintainable process to go and manage all these hosts manually so that they're able to run your automation, in addition to the fact that you need some way for them to communicate to know who should run that automation. So it can be a difficult problem. So that's why we're introducing to you right now, for the first time ever, Microsoft Azure Automation. It's a new service in Azure. Right. You guys don't even know what it does yet, and you're already clapping. So just wait till you hear what it does.
Ready? Oh, no.
Yeah, let's stay on that for a little bit longer.
Okay.
So it's built on PowerShell workflow, and it comes with the Azure PowerShell module pre-installed, so you can integrate into all of your Azure resources. Cool. Let's go to the next slide. Basically, what Azure Automation is a highly available, reliable, scalable workflow execution engine that lets you automate all of the manual, long-running, error-prone, and frequently repeated tasks that you take in your cloud operations to kind of keep your services up and running. So instead of having your DevOps folks constantly have to do every day, every week, these manual tasks that may have lots of steps, that may take a while to finish, and they have to wait on a step to finish before going on to the next step, or may have a lot of steps, and if you kind of, some of them are tricky, and if you mess one up, you end up in a bad state, you know. No, don't make DevOps have to worry about any of those kind of menial but still very important to your cloud operation tasks, and instead place those in the hands of our Azure Automation service. And in this way, you can free up your DevOps to, instead of focusing on these menial tasks, they can focus on work that adds business value to your company. So we only have a brief amount of time, so I'm not going to go in depth on all the capabilities of Azure Automation, although I will show you some demos. But at a high level, the three great things it gives you is runbook authoring. Runbooks are basically PowerShell workflows that we renamed to runbooks because they have a few special properties. You can, within the Azure portal, actually write, using the Monaco editor, write PowerShell workflow and then test it within the portal and promote it to production and then run your automation jobs. You never have to go on-prem and write it in the ISC or Visual Studio and then bring it into automation. Although you can do that, we do allow the import feature. You get a full rich editor within Azure to kind of automate your management scenarios for your cloud resources. In addition, integration into other systems, because the system is built on PowerShell workflow, any PowerShell module that's around today, you can import into the system and basically integrate into that system from your automation tasks. In addition, you can write PowerShell modules in C# or PowerShell script itself to integrate into any other system that maybe there's not a PowerShell module for today. PowerShell is a really good community, so there's a lot of great stuff out there, and there's a lot of support in terms of if you want to create a new integration, getting the support to help you do that. Sorry, one more thing on that last slide.
Oh, okay.
I should be looking over here, I guess, to see it.
That's fine.
And the big, big part is this highly available engine. So because we're built on PowerShell workflow, if you run a script, a workflow, after you take step A, step B, step C, if the script crashes for any reason, you know, the host running it crashes, there's a network error, any reason, errors happen in the real world. You can set your runbook to checkpoint after certain steps so that when the workflow of the runbook is resumed later, it'll actually pick up from that spot. So if one of the previous steps was to create a VM, obviously when the script resumes, you don't want it to create another VM. So you can tell it, hey, start from this checkpoint, resume from this checkpoint instead of starting from the beginning so that it won't take the steps that it's taken before. And a great part about this is because we have a distributed service, the checkpoint data isn't saved locally on the host. It's actually saved into our automation backend. So if the worker actually running your runbook dies for some reason, that checkpoint is persisted to our backend. So when another worker comes along to pick up your job, it'll actually continue from that point, even though it wasn't the one running it before. All right. We got to wait till the end, unfortunately, just because of time.
Yeah.
I appreciate the interest, though. So let's think again about that same scenario and how you can do this in kind of a highly available, robust way instead of just having it run on one host that could die. So again, DevOps only wants to be involved when there's an issue with a website. So how can we use the automation service to do this?
Cool.
And I'll show you how this works in Azure Automation.
Cool.
So.
By the way, he's going to have a lot of really good questions.
Yeah?
He's kind of a PowerShell junkie.
Ooh, so. Okay. Give me some hard ones.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is the Azure portal. You can see we have this new cute gears and lightning bolt sign, which when you mouse over it, gives you the tooltip of automation. This is the new service that we provide in Azure that comes out today. And you can see I have a number of runbooks in here. And for this scenario, I'm going to actually show you this Monitor Azure website runbook. And I'm going to go to author. And this is where you can view the published version of your runbook, which is the version that will run in production. Oops. Or the drafted version of your runbook.
Is that the Monaco editor?
This is the Monaco editor. Nice. You may have seen this before. It's in a lot of places. So you can go in here, you know, type and actually add to your runbook. You can hit test to kick off a test of your runbook. So before I get into the details of how this runbook works, essentially what it does is it monitors your website. And when there's an issue, it'll send a text message to the on-call engineer. So just because it takes a little while to start, I'm going to start it up before I talk about it. So I actually need a volunteer for this demo. As you can see, it takes a parameter for the on-call person's phone number. So who wants to pretend to be our on-call engineer and be texted about this problem?
So you should probably turn on your volume. That
yes.
never happens.
What's your phone number?
610-999-1345.
US phone number?
Huh?
US phone number?
Yes.
Okay, good, just making sure. So yes, this is the only presentation you're ever gonna hear where someone is gonna say, turn up the volume on your cell phone. Okay, so let's kick off that. And while that is kicking off, you can see it actually adds this test console down here, which is where you can see the status of the job, and when it has output, it'll appear here. Right now, it's just kicking it off. So I'm gonna close that output pane for now and just talk a little bit about this runbook. So the main brew of the runbook is right here. You can see it has this while loop that continually runs.
That would happen.
I think that's something else. I don't think that was my text message to him, because I haven't even taken down the website yet. You're really proactive, man, but come on, hold on a sec. So we're calling the sub runbook. So just like functions can call other functions, runbooks can call other runbooks. So I have this get Azure website status, which is another runbook. You can see it's right over here, listed here. And this runbook actually talks to Azure using my connection named Joe Azure, and will actually return back the status of all of my websites, similar to that PowerShell script I showed you before. And if one is ever found to be down, it'll actually talk to Twilio. Does anyone know what Twilio is? This guy in the red might know.
Yeah, the guy in the Twilio
jacket. This
guy
from Twilio.
Yeah.
So for those of you who don't, Twilio is a telephony as a service API. So it gives you the ability to send text messages, receive text messages, send calls, receive calls as a service using their API. So I've actually built a PowerShell module and imported that into Azure Automation to work against Twilio. And I can show you that in here. But before I do that, a few other things you can see I'm doing in here are actually leveraging automation connections, automation certificates. So in automation, we have these things called assets. And one great thing about automation is instead of hard coding into your runbooks, you know, credentials to connect into systems or VMs or variables that are used throughout runbooks, instead of hard coding those, you save them as assets. Our asset types are connection, credential, variable, certificate, and then we also have schedules and, of course, PowerShell modules. Instead of hard-coding those into your runbooks, you save them as an asset, and that stores them securely in our backend. It also means that instead of having to go around to all your runbooks and update these whenever your certificate expires and you have to replace it or your credentials change, something like that, you just update the asset for that, and because the runbooks are just referencing that asset, they will actually grab the newest value. So it helps with your maintenance of these runbooks. So you can see I have this Twilio module in here in addition to the Azure one, which comes out of the box. So I open up my Twilio module details page, and you can see I've implemented three commandlets, get a phone number to send a Twilio message from, get the status of my Twilio text messages, and actually send a Twilio text message. So let's go back to that runbook. Monitor Azure website. Okay. And by now, our job should have started and should be running. Yeah, you can see it says running down here. I can open this up. And just as you can see, what this runbook is doing is, you know, when it finds that the state isn't running and it previously was running, it'll send a text message to our on-call engineer. So it's just sleeping right now because all of the websites are up right now. But I can go over here, and volume on your phone is up, right, sir? Okay. So I can actually take down, and the way I'm going to take it down is just by hitting stop. So in reality, this is probably not how your website would have an issue. But just to demonstrate.
Yeah, that's the only way your website would have an issue running an Azure website.
Azure's really good. That's the only way it can happen. So you can see this detected that the website's not responding. Everybody hear that? That is the sound of this guy having to wake up maybe 3 a.m. and go fix something. So thank you for... Right, exactly. JoTess is not responding, go fix it, is what the text said. So thank you for offering to fix this website for us. I'm sure it'll be very... All you have to do is hit start. We really know how to remediate it. So I'm going to stop this and go back to the deck, and we will talk about another scenario you can do.
Oh, sorry. There you go.
Right. So obviously I showed you how monitoring could work in Azure Automation, but Azure Automation is great for managing and maintaining all of the cloud resources you have to really keep your services that are in Azure or across clouds or use all these different services, not just Azure, up and running. Another thing that would be really great to do is, let's say, same SaaS application, and the VMs that are behind the SaaS application running it deal with secure information, secure customer information. So you really need to make sure that they stay up to date in terms of security updates from Microsoft. At the same time, you need to maintain high availability because people want to use the service, so you can't take it down. So how do you keep security up to date and high availability up to date? So you may have this running as a custom service. So you kind of have to, depending on how your service works, set up how to take down the virtual machines and maybe talk to traffic manager and install the updates to really keep your service highly available while you do this update across your whole service. So with that, we can go to a demo of this in Azure Automation.
Seven. Is that you? Cool. Right here?
There I am. Okay. So I have this update Azure VM runbook, which uses a lot of these other runbooks in here. And essentially what this does, and again, I'm going to kick it off to start with just because it takes a little while to start. I'll actually kick off the production version of this so I can show you how we look at the operator view of our jobs and see the output there as opposed to just the authoring view. So I'm starting up that runbook, but I'll go into the authoring view just to give you a nice looking version of it while we talk about it. So, go away. Okay. So in here, what we've got is basically what I'm doing is I'm grabbing all of the virtual machines in my service, which in this case is just, I'm saying it's all of the virtual machines that I have. And I'm saying for each of these virtual machines, I want to call this child runbook. And just like functions can call functions, runbooks can call runbooks. And what this child runbook does is it takes in a lot of parameters from the parent runbook, this runbook, and it's actually going to go and see if a module is installed, a PowerShell module is installed on that virtual machine. What this module is a module that lets you manage Windows Update from PowerShell. Some of you may have heard of this module before. It has 48,228 downloads. Mikhail is the author of it and graciously said I could talk about it during this. And what it lets you do is manage Windows Update through PowerShell. It gives you that nice interface instead of having to do it through COM. So, and you can see the way I have this module stored is in my cloud storage, I have a container for my PowerShell modules. And within here, I have this pswindowsupdate.zip. And this is the module packaged up stored in my blob store. And essentially what the runbook does is it checks if the VM that it's supposed to update has this module. If it doesn't, it will download this module from our Azure Blob Store onto the worker running our runbook, and then copy it from the worker running our runbook to the VM. Then it will unzip it into the PS path so that any other runbook scripts, anything that remotes into the VM will be able to take advantage of this Windows Update functionality straight from PowerShell. So if I go back in here, that's what this sub runbook does. It basically installs the module if it's not available already, and that internally calls some other runbooks. And then for each of the VMs in my service, I am actually getting the URI to connect into that virtual machine, and then I am invoking a command on that runbook, sorry, on that virtual machine to actually go and install these updates. Because this is a demo, I'm just listing out the updates instead of going and installing them. In reality with this, you would probably, instead of starting this manually like I did, you would utilize a schedule. Automation, Azure Automation also has a schedule functionality, so you can say, I want to run this at 3 a.m. you know, daily or 3 a.m. weekly or whenever works for you. Probably some time where less people are using your service. Even though you're going to maintain HA, you might be a little less performant because you are taking some of the virtual machine down. In addition, you may want to integrate with Traffic Manager or whatever you need to do to keep your service HA, even though you're taking down these virtual machines in order to apply these security updates. So let's go back up. And for this runbook, I will click on Jobs. And this is where I can see all of, a job is an instance of a runbook that has been executed. So you can see it's still starting this up. So because we have a little bit of time here, you can see there's a schedule tab, which is schedules I talked about. You also have this configure tab, which lets you say how verbose the logging for a runbook is. It will always spit out the output of the runbook, but if say you want to do troubleshooting or debugging or auditing or something, you can turn on more verbose logs here. So I have the verbose logs on, so when we actually look at the job output, we'll be able to see all of these very verbose things that happen in the system. Let's look at the status of that. So now it's running. It's going to take a little bit of time to run, so while that's going on, I'll actually show you our install module on Azure VM child runbook that this runbook is calling. So the way you write a child runbook is just like a regular PowerShell workflow. Again, it takes in params just like a normal PowerShell script, PowerShell workflow does. And then if you did want to output stuff, the way it outputs it is just by spitting stuff out to the output stream. So what's actually happening within here, and I'll show you it in the publish view just because that's where I have it right now. I'm actually grabbing a credential asset, which I talked about, to say, hey, what credential do I have that will let me access this virtual machine? Then I'm going to remote to that virtual machine and check if the module is installed. And then if it isn't installed, I'm going to actually use this other child runbook to copy it from our Azure Blob Store down to the worker, and then from the worker to the virtual machine, and unzip it and add it to the PowerShell path so it becomes available. So by now, my job is probably done. Oops, wrong runbook. Still running. Okay. Well, it's about to finish. So I can click into a job and see stuff about who started it, when it was started. If it took input parameters, it'll list the key values of those input parameters out here, and then whatever output it produced. I can also go over to history, and you can see here it'll actually show me, because I had the verbose stream on, all of the verbose output, things like getting all the VMs, installing PS Windows Update module on the VM name if it's not installed, checking if the VM has that module. These are all verbose messages that I've written out so that I'm able to see them when the runbook actually runs. So you can see it does not contain the module is what this guy's saying. And if it's really long, you can also open up this to see it, the full message. And then basically all these verbose messages about, hey, what am I doing now? What am I doing now? What am I doing now? So should be done. Completed. Good. So we have this completed thing here. If we go back to our jobs list, we can see it's completed. And so now, obviously, in the real version of this, you would install the updates. I'm just listing them out. Under output, I now have all of the different updates that I would have installed listed out here. And I've just decided to spit out their categories and what KB they cover and things like that. So you can see how using Azure Automation, you can really, in a robust, highly available way, automate the updating of all your virtual machines or really any management task about your cloud resources that you need to perform to keep your cloud services up and running.
Cool. And I'm looking in mine right now. I'm actually looking in my portal right now. Do I see it? I don't see the gears. Do users have to opt in?
Yeah, so this is actually in preview starting today. So there is the regular preview page that you go to actually request access to the service, and we're going to slowly be adding more and more people to the service as we kind of push it out more and more as a real service.
Nice. Well, that's pretty much the end of our talk. Thanks a lot for doing the talk with me today. It was nice to do a talk with you. Yeah. And thank you to Guy for suggesting that we do this. It actually ended up, I thought the stack concept worked out really well. As you can see, we're giving you all kinds of new toys for automating your world up in Azure. So you've got managed code ability to do it. You've got the Node.js ability to do it. Soon you'll have the Java ability to do it. We've got the PowerShell stuff, which is also built on top of the management libraries. And then we've got the automation service, which is built on top of that. Last thing I want to do is our teams are probably going to be watching this video whenever it gets posted online.
So do them a favor and give them a round of applause, because they've worked really hard on this stuff, okay? Cool. All right. Thanks a lot. You guys have a great night.
Great.
Take care.
If anyone has any questions, we'll stick around.
Yeah, we'll be here.